The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And my message this morning is entitled, Life, the Right Choice. Sometimes there are topics that are not real pleasant to talk about because not everybody's on the same page when it comes to issues like abortion. However, I believe that the Bible is very clear about how life should be sacred, and even in the womb. I believe that conception is life. A person has a soul. God instills that. It's His breath that He breathes into that life. So it's very important that we talk about these things, that we look at the issues of our day. There's a lot of issues that the world, particularly our politicians, would like for the church to stay out of. Abortion is one of them. Euthanasia. Assisted suicide. There's a lot of things. There's many things in our society that the world and our government would just as soon that we as the church would stay on our four walls and keep our mouth shut. But as believers in Jesus Christ, I believe our responsibility is to speak up and stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And maybe for some that can stand up for themselves, but we need to be a voice that is proclaiming the truth of God everywhere and all the time. So my perspective on this, I don't care what the world says, I don't care what the government says, my perspective on this is that there is nothing off limits for the pulpit and for the church. We're a part of this nation, and we should have a voice in the things that are going on in this nation. Let me give you a definition of politics. Politics is the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. There is the reason they don't want the church to speak out about the issues that I'm talking about, because they do not want us to have the influence and the power in our society that they know we could wield if we would just come together on these issues. If the church would be strong, if the church would speak out, if the church would stand, this nation would be a different place. Granted, I believe we need revival in our land. But I also believe that the church, all of us, and I speak to myself as much as I speak to you, we need to get a backbone. Amen. And begin to stand. Amen. There's going to be times when we're going to be persecuted, maybe just verbally, and boy, that hurts us, doesn't it? We can't stand it when we're persecuted verbally. But there may be a time, if we keep our mouth shut now, where we're persecuted physically or financially. It's time to stand. It's time to raise a voice, to raise our banner for the world to know that we love Jesus Christ and that we want political leaders, we want judges, we want our politicians, we want congressmen and senators to know that we believe in life and that life is sacred. Let me share with you what one of our Supreme Court justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said about the passing of Roe v. Wade. Frankly, I had thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. This is one of our Supreme Court justices saying there are people on the earth that deserve to die, that their life is not worth living. What kind of a nation allows leaders to rise up and say there are certain people that should have their life extinguished. We're in big trouble, people. But our God is good. Our God is strong. Our God is faithful. And if we will stand, I believe we can see some changes take place in this nation that we live in. 43 years ago, 1973, the Supreme Court ruling of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton was a decision, it was a landmark decision that caused abortion on demand. It opened the door for it to happen in all 50 of our states during all 9 months, whether you believe this or not, all 9 months of pregnancy. And children, abortion is hideous, but partial birth abortion is incredible to think about what they're doing. Pulling those little children out, fully formed, out of the womb, leaving just enough of the baby in the womb so that they can poke an instrument in the back of their head and take their life. It's murder if they brought that baby out and put it on the gurney and then killed it. But as long as it's still in the womb, it's not murder. What a crazy way of thinking. Praise God. I'm sorry that I'm dumping so much of a heavy load on you this morning, but I am feeling a passion for this that we need as the believers in Jesus Christ to be sure of what we believe and what we trust in and who we trust in so that we can speak the truth. Over 57 million lives have been taken since that decision. 21,000 in the state of Ohio. Just recently, the Ohio Senate has approved a bill that would defund Planned Parenthood, which is the biggest abortion concern in our nation. We'll see what the House does with it. But here's what I want you to understand. We have instilled a culture of death in our society. And the snowball is gaining momentum. That's why we must stop it. Even if it takes our life, we've got to stand and stop it. Life's no longer sacred. Now, here's the thing. I want you to understand. Abortion is not the only issue of our day. In recent years, human cloning has become an issue. Genetic engineering, transhumanism, assisted suicide, euthanasia. These are all part of our societal debate that we as Christians must wade into. Because we have to have our voice heard. Today, it seems to me like humans are just a biological entity that can be killed or manipulated at someone else's will. If we have the same kind of thoughts that Ginsburg has, that's exactly what's going to happen in the future. What about war? I mean, that life is, it seems to me like we don't take war seriously anymore, especially here in the United States. You know, we can sit on our couch and watch our military bomb somebody someplace in Afghanistan or Iran, Iraq, wherever in the Middle East, wherever they choose to do something. It doesn't affect us at all. We can just watch it like it's a movie. And in reality, if you know, I can only speak for myself. If I don't think about the fact that those are innocent, some of those are innocent people that bomb is being dropped on. According to a survey, since 9/11, 1.2 million up to 2 million people have died in wars all across the world. Many of those people were innocent victims. They were families, children, mothers, fathers who had nothing to do with what was going on politically or geopolitically. That's, you know, these are the kind of things that we have to stir our thinking about and realize. And I'm not trying to blame anybody that any particular aggression was right or wrong. I'm just telling you, war kills people. We have to be aware of what's happening in our world. And when our politicians say we need to go to war against somebody, let's listen closely to what's really happening. Let's not just take it so like, oh, well, they know best. Well, maybe they don't. We need to hear what God is saying about these particular situations. I'm not opposed to us taking care of any interests that we have as the United States of America. If we have to stand for our freedom. But many times, war is not about freedom. It's about money. It's about oil. It's about gold. About other things. Hallelujah. Do we allow painless mercy killing of people with terminal diseases? That's a big debate. Think about it. You've got to think through this for yourself. I can't do it for you. No one sitting here can do it for you. You have to think through it for yourself. Is that an appropriate thing to take place? Allow people to commit suicide because they have a terminal disease. If we do, then who's next? The elderly who are too old to be productive? Then the developmentally handicapped? Whose quality of life is really not up to our standard. Where does it end? Who will set the standards in the future for our moral and ethical values? That's the war. That's the battle that we're in. They say you cannot legislate morality. That's garbage. Somebody's morality is going to be legislated. And I'm sorry to say, it's not been God's people's morality that's been legislated. That's why we have a culture of death today. In the 1970s, the Prime Minister of India implemented a forced sterilization program. Officially, it was for men with two children or more. But what they found out was as it went along, sometimes it was unmarried men, sometimes it was political opponents, and sometimes it was undesirables in their society. That's what happens when we give the power of life and death to a government. Let me wake you up a little bit. A little historical truth. This is the same slippery slope that the German people were on just prior to Adolf Hitler. In the Nazi Party. Life is precious. It's precious to God. It should be precious to us. So this morning I want to look at a couple things. I want to look at some important issues about life. And the fact, number one, that we're going to look at, we are created in God's image. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 through 28. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God delegated his power and authority to mankind to steward this earth. Granted, we haven't done a very good job of it sometimes, but still, God granted that authority to us. And what we need to realize is that we are unique human beings. Every person is very unique in the eyes of God. You have unique characteristics, unique gifts, unique talents, unique DNA that no one will ever duplicate. Even when you have children, you don't completely duplicate your DNA. You are special in the eyes of God. And your life is important to God. The word shalom is derived from recognizing that we reflect His image. It's peace, God's peace. And we reflect His image. If we will allow God to work through us, He will accomplish His will and His desires on the face of this earth. I believe this can only be accomplished if we recognize the power that we have in Jesus Christ and who we are. If we realize that our God has said in Hebrews 11:6 that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, we will see things happen. We will see changes take place. We'll see our families come together like God intended. We will see our communities come together like God intended. We'll see our nation come together like God intended. Now, here's the thing. Many people struggle with this idea of God and creation because the world has done such a great job, I guess I should say, of systematically stripping our society of godly influence. For generations, we've been force-fed throughout our entire childhood and through media that evolution is the way we ended up here on this earth. You can't watch a television program. I don't care whether it's a kids program or an adult program. Seems to me like without seeing something about evolution. It's brought up all the time. We are force-fed this stuff. The greatest tools that the humanists have been able to use in our society is our public schools and our media. And they're constantly bombarding us with the ideas of evolution. No wonder life is meaningless and disposable. I read a story about a rabbi who's on a train with an atheist sat down beside him, and they had a lengthy conversation. During their conversation, the rabbi's children and grandchildren kept coming up to him and say, "Papa, can we get something for you? Can we do something? Do you need anything?" After a while, the atheist said to the rabbi, he said, "I can't believe this, how your family respects you. How they care about you. They're always wanting to do something for my kids. Could care less about me." The rabbi looked at him. He said, "No wonder. To me, or to my children, I am one step closer to the law that was given by Almighty God through Moses. You are one step closer to an ape." It's true. When we have that mindset, we don't see the sacredness of life, young or old. We don't have that respect. That's why we've got to break this thing. People must come to the realization of who our God is. He is the creator of all things. There is no room for evolution in your theology. According to a statistic, a survey that was taken, 40% of Christians believe that God is the creator, but He used evolution to do it. You can't do that. It's impossible. Read the first book of the Bible. In a 7-day period, it's very clear, God created all things. You can't mix the two religions. And I say religions because that's what I believe evolution is, a religion. You either believe God is the creator or you believe He's dead and gone. It's your only choice. Let me share some things with you about this. In order to get from Bach, from bacteria to Bach, I hope you understand what I'm saying, requires incredible amount of new information to be added. Where does it come from? I can tell you this, it does not come from mutations like they want to tell you. They actually degrade the information that we have in our genes and DNA. Everybody know who Carl Sagan was? Anybody? You know Carl Sagan? He was supposedly the inventor of the satellite, I believe. But he was a great scientist, a very, very knowledgeable man. I won't take anything away from him. Very, in the things of science, he is very wise. Sagan was an ardent evolutionist. And he died in 1996. But here's what he said. He admitted mutations occur at random and are almost uniformly harmful. It is rare that a precision machine is improved by random change in the instructions for making it. In other words, if you have a precision machine and something randomly happens to it, usually that's not a good thing. If something randomly happens to your car, does it improve? No. If you go out and you randomly have a flat tire, is that something to cheer about? Of course not. It starts missing. That's not good. That's the same thing with the human beings. We can't expect random chance to improve us. George Wald was also a famous evolutionist. He wrote in The Origin of Life in Scientific America in 1954. He said this, "The reasonable view during the two centuries before Louis Pasteur was to believe in spontaneous generation. The only alternative is to believe in a single primary act of supernatural creation." Listen, he's making it perfectly clear. You cannot merge the two religions. You either believe in evolution or you believe in creation. Because if you try to put them together, it doesn't work. The only alternative is to believe in a single primary act of supernatural creation. There is no third option. One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet, here we are. As a result, I believe of spontaneous generation. He is saying that there is no proof that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. But because it's his religion, he's going to believe in it, no matter what. Sagan and Wald both admit that chance of evolution are just absolutely incredible. It's impossible. But they stand behind it because it's their religion. It takes more faith to be an atheist and an evolutionist than it does to be a Christian. There's much more proof that Christianity is real, that God is the creator. If you start looking around, you stop listening to the propaganda that has been put in our history books and science books, and you start doing some research for yourself, you will find out that God is the creator of everything. But you got to get your head out of this world and into the realm of the Holy Spirit, His Word, and the reality of truth. I like this. Milton Berle said, "If evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands?" I agree. If you want, you can believe your ancestors were slime that slithered out of primordial swamp pit if you want. That's your choice. I don't care what those guys said. They can believe that. But I want you to know, my God is greater than anything the evolutionists can put forth. I will always trust Him. He is my God. I will serve Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I believe in Him. And I trust in Him. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You choose. Next thing, life is sacred. Now, just based on that scripture that we talked about right there in the beginning, life is sacred in Genesis. If we lose sight of the value placed on human life, we are completely susceptible to the temptation to destroy God's prized creation without question. That's why we're seeing it happen all over the United States and the world. Because we take it lightly. When an abortion is performed under any circumstance, we lose the impact of that particular life on our life and our society. Many say it's a fetus, it's a blob of tissue. The reality is, it's a living being, a soul that God created. Many years ago, Ethel Waters was a great gospel singer. She was born to a 13-year-old who had been raped. If that happened today, a good chance of her being aborted is very high. And yet, think about it. Think about what we would have lost, the whole world would have lost by taking a life. His magazine in February, several years ago, 1984, college professor presented this challenging situation to his ethics class to consider. A man has syphilis and his wife has tuberculosis. They have 4 children. One has died. The other have terminal illnesses. The other 3. The mother is pregnant. What do you recommend that we do? The class voted overwhelmingly to terminate the pregnancy. When it was all over, the professor said to the class, "You have just killed Beethoven." That's what happens when humans, even with the best of intentions, are able to choose between life and death. And now with our technology today, it's not just abortion or euthanasia, there are so many issues at large. Because we have the ability to change human traits and human characteristics. And maybe even turn them into inhuman traits and characteristics. According to an article that I pulled from Vanguard, a firm in the UK is seeking couples who wish to have designer babies. Can you imagine that? We have everything else. We have designer pocketbooks, designer clothes, designer cars, designer every glasses. You can have designer just about anything. Why not a designer baby? What they're looking for is couples who want to have particular traits instilled genetically in their children. Blue eyes, blonde hair, black hair, whatever. So even they've gotten down to the detail of whether that child will enjoy the arts, music and the arts. Is that the kind of child you want? You think this is impossible, but it's not. In fact, these kind of things have been going on for a long, long time. designer children. Wow. So what is genetic engineering? Well, according to Union of Concerned Scientists, because they're concerned about what's going on, they gave this definition. Genetic engineering is a set of technologies used to change genetic makeup of cells, including the transfer of genes within and across species. So what they're talking about is taking a gene from an eagle and inserting it into a pig for whatever reason. You know, trying to enhance the abilities. And you're going to find out that they're working on that with humans as well. There are some examples of what they're doing with animals. First one is glow-in-the-dark cats. These cats actually glow in the dark. They took a gene from a jellyfish that glows in the dark, and they implanted it in cats. And now they glow in the dark. Cats are not the only animals. They implant it in a lot of different animals. Now they glow in the dark. Why do you need a glow-in-the-dark cat? I don't know. For the most part, I don't like cats, so I wouldn't want one glowing in the dark. Well, maybe that's a good thing. The predators could find it. I don't know. I have a cat, and we love our cat, I guess. The next one is a goat. Let's see the goat up there. This goat, they have put a spider's gene in this goat. Now within the goat's milk are spider webs. The reason they want to do this is because spider web is the strongest known material on the face of the earth, including some of the fabricated materials that they have today. So they're taking this. It's almost impossible to have enough spiders to make the kind of webs that they want to on the volume that they need to. So they're using this to be able to make some strong fabric and who knows what else. Now, I want you all to understand, I didn't make this stuff up. This is real. This is going on. This is happening. What's the next one? Pigs. Here we go. These pigs are growing human organs. And the idea is that they're going to create pigs with human organs so that if Otis needs a heart transplant, he gets a pig heart. Take it right out of the pig. Whatever. Yes. Ah, Tammy would not like that. I snore enough as it is. This stuff is happening today. They're trying to create more and more of it as we go through. This is a cow that has had human genes implanted in it so that it produces breast milk for human consumption. This is crazy stuff, isn't it? I want you to know where we are in this world. This is a crazy, out-of-control world. The enemy is trying his best to defeat God's people. We will stand up in Jesus' name and not allow that to happen. The church, I don't care what they do, the church is going to become stronger. I don't care what they say, the church is going to stand. We are going to be a militant group. I don't mean that we're going to wield guns and go out and kill people. I mean, we're going to be militant about our faith. We're going to stand and believe and trust our God. We're going to know that He has our back. We don't have to fight our own battles. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations. Oh, glory. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God is good, and He's on our side. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Cloning. This next pick, this scientist That dog he created in, I believe it was 1995. He cloned the first dog. Now in his laboratories in Seoul, he is producing cloned animals. Now, if you're not familiar with exactly what a clone is, it's an exact replica of the original. As I said originally in my message, that we are all unique. There's no one exactly like us. However, when humans get involved, they are creating exact replicas of the original. Now, why? You know, a lot of people want the exact replica of their dog. They'll be able to have that for the rest of their life. If this keeps going, there's going to be cloning of human beings. That probably already has happened. We just don't know about it. There are laws in place that keep that from happening. However, this next clip I have here is a clip of DARPA, which is a defense contractor who has been given the responsibility of creating super soldiers. Those super soldiers are part of transhumanism, and transhumanism is the desire to interface any kind of computer or microchips, anything that would enhance the human being's life, along with cloning, genetic engineering, and their ultimate goal is to create a human who will never die. Who do you think inspires this stuff? It's the enemy. Satan is trying to tell man. He's always tried to tell man that he can be without life. He told Adam and Eve in the garden, though, you're not going to die. Just eat. You won't die. That's exactly what we're doing here. We're trying to tell people that we can achieve immortality through our own means and ability. Now, this is just rumor, so I want to make sure I make it clear. DARPA is... there are laws in place in the United States where they're not allowed to use cloning of humans, use genetic engineering on humans. However, you and I both know that that's never stopped them in the past just because we had laws in place. Their goal is to create a super soldier, and they're going to do anything they can, anything they want to. To accomplish that. Richard Seed, who is a physicist, and he's involved with human cloning research. This is what he said, and this is scary stuff. We are going to become gods. If you don't like it, get off. You do not have to participate. But if you try to interfere with me becoming a god, you will have big trouble. He's not the only one that feels that way. That's why our opposition is going to be met with fierce, fierce battles. That's why we have to stand. We're all struck by the incredible things that happened in Nazi Germany. They did these kind of, they had experiments on humans. They took life, they made life and caused life to be minimized. During the Holocaust, the first to be killed in Nazi Germany were the infirm, the senile, the mentally retarded. Eventually, as World War II went on, epileptics, children with badly molded ears, and even bedwetters. These people were transported to these places to be murdered. It's a strong word, but that's exactly what was happening. By a politically correct organization called the charitable transport company for the sick. We hear all kinds of politically correct things being said today. What we need is people who will stand up and tell the truth, not try to impress anybody with being politically correct. I'm never going to be politically correct. There's nothing about me that's politically correct. There's everything about me that is godly truth. I don't mean I'm perfect. Just I believe in the Word of God. It's real. It's what we live by. It's how we stand. We're all struck by these incredible things that took place. Leo Alexander was a consultant to the Secretary of War on duty with the Office of Chief Counselor for War Crimes in Nuremberg. And he said what happened in Nazi Germany all started with the same attitude that we have about abortion, with the acceptance of the attitude that there is such thing as life not worthy to be lived. Richard Weikart wrote a book, From Darwin to Hitler. And this is what he said in the book. Darwinism by itself did not produce the Holocaust. But without Darwinism, neither Hitler nor his Nazi followers would have had the necessary scientific underpinning to convince themselves and their collaborators that one of the world's greatest atrocities was really morally praiseworthy. So evolution played a role in this. Our society is embracing this attitude right now. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "See now that I, even I am He, and He is no God. There is no God with me. I kill and I might make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither there is any that can deliver out of my hand. Only God is the one that can choose life. He chose to send His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us His Son so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We need to live that life, this life that we have, in an abundant way, to reach out, to touch others, to love. The only way we're going to change this world is to love them into the kingdom, to show them what it means to really be a Christian. God desires that no one perish at any time or any place. But it's going to happen. Millions are going to go to hell. I hope it's not because we're silent. I hope we can speak up and speak out. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 35, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you." Darkness is approaching, people. Amen. Let's speak out. Let's speak up. Dr. Bernard Nathanson was the leading abortion doctor in the United States in the 1970s. He had even campaigned for abortion to be legalized. He believed in it that much. And then while he was practicing, he'd performed over 60,000 abortions. And one day while he was practicing, a new device was introduced called the ultrasound. And when he was viewing this new device, those who were showing him the device had a pregnant woman, and they ran that device across her womb, and lo and behold, he saw a child in that womb. At that point, he had a decision to make. He came to a conclusion that life began in the womb. It begins in the womb. He went back, and of course he struggled with himself and what he had done. But for over a period of time, he came to the conclusion that abortion was taking a life. And in an article for the New England Journal of Medicine, he said this: "In abortion, we are taking life. That fetus is not mere tissue. It is human life." Hallelujah. I'm glad God used him to come to this place where he could speak out. He had experience in the abortion industry, And he came to the ultimate conclusion that life is created by Almighty God. God is alive. God is real. Evolution is a lie. People, human beings, are God's sacred creation. Your life is important to him. Others' lives are important to him. Now let me end by saying, if a person has had an abortion, whether you are a male that were involved or a female, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is forgiveness. If you turn to Christ, he forgives. We forgive. We move on. We encourage. We lift up. We're not trying to condemn anyone. We're trying to save lives. We love you. And it's a difficult thing. I know when people come to these places in their life where there's an unwanted pregnancy, there's difficult decisions that need to be made. But man, I want us all to encourage our young people, no matter what. Choose life. Life is God's choice. Stand with me. An elderly man who was a Christian in Nazi Germany. He and his church, they would meet every Sunday, sing, worship, praise God. Behind their church ran a train track. And because of the way it was designed, that train would slow down as it went by the church. And he said, when the Nazis started exterminating people, just about every Sunday, they would hear people crying out to us in that church, "Save us. Save us. Help us." And he said they would just sing louder. They'd just worship more. They would just do everything they could to drown out those voices. And if you read his testimony, you hear a man who is in pain because he failed to stand up. And Christianity, and for the most part, failed to stand up. Those who did, their lives were taken as well. You got to understand, there will be a price to be paid to stand for what is right. But it's always the best thing. We stand because we know our God is for life and not death. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I know this is a difficult message, but it's a message that we need to hear, that we need to stir up inside of us. We need to recognize things that are happening in our world. Help us to be strong and to be faithful, Father God. Help us to take a stand for what is right according to your word and not compromise because the world would press in against us. Today, Father God, I ask for strength. I ask for peace and I ask for healing. If there's anybody in this room that has been involved with an abortion, Lord God, your peace and your forgiveness, I pray that it comes upon them today. Thank you, Lord God. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but there is healing, there is health, and there is wholeness. Father, I thank you that you give us this opportunity today to glorify your holy name and lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you'd like prayer for healing, please come forward. I'd like to ask our prayer warriors to come up. Anyone who would like to have special prayer, we have that time right after service for that.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.